All year long, we've been talking about the angel cards and playing with the angels. And I think it's been really fun. It's been a great year for me. I've had a good time with the angels. And I have the angel card little book and a set of angel cards here that belong to the study group. So if anybody would like to borrow them for a while, since we're done with the series, I would be happy to loan them out. Today we're talking about the grace angel. And the little saying in the book says, poise and elegance in form, attitude, and action. Give up struggle and allow the universe to participate in the creation of your life. And the picture is a dancing angel. It's showing grace in action and attitude and form. Well, this week I got a really bad cold. And between my omnipresent box of Kleenex and my ever-filling wastebaskets and the peeling of my nose, I felt anything but poised and elegant. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when the grace doesn't seem to be there? Well, the answer is in here. Give up struggle and allow the universe to participate in the creation of your life. Give up the struggle. And all week long, I didn't feel like doing anything. I canceled everything I could. I did the things that I felt like I really had to do. And the rest of the time, I just vegged. I watched Parenthood marathons on Netflix and just petted my cat and drank soup and made tea. That's all. I didn't even go to the grocery store, you know, and I had a craving for orange juice. And I just couldn't get to the grocery store to do it. And Val came over on Wednesday and brought me oranges and grapefruits. Wow. I gave up the struggle and the grapefruit appeared. I mean, it was fabulous. And then in passing, Carrie said, oh, I'm going to juice mine tomorrow morning. And this light went on in my head, and I said, you can juice fruit. Now, other people know that, but in my house growing up, it was a sin to juice fruit. You were supposed to eat the fruit. And I just could never bring myself to juice fruit. And I was letting oranges sit on my counter when I craved orange juice. And I said, oh, my goodness, that's a rule I've been living by, that I've been struggling about, that I don't have to live by anymore. And I had this incredible sense of freedom. And that's what grace is. Grace is that sense of freedom. It's liberating ourselves from those rules that don't apply anymore, that maybe were meaningful at the time, but, you know, you can let them go. You can make new choices. So I wanted to write this talk, and I kept thinking, got to write this talk. That's something I have to do this week. I have to write a talk. And I didn't feel like it, and I didn't do it. And finally, at 4 o'clock on Thursday morning, I couldn't sleep. And I woke up, and I thought, well, I know in the third beloved book that I wrote, there's a really good quote on grace. So I think I'll go find the quote on grace in the really good book that I wrote. And because I remembered, it said, grace is what humans call the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe.
Say that again.
Grace is what humans call the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe. And I thought, that's pretty brilliant. I really like that idea. I'm going to go look it up. So I went down and I opened my book, which I called The Incomprehensible Friendliness of the Universe. And I haven't published that one yet. The whole book is about grace. And I had no idea that I had written a book about grace. But when I pulled up that beautiful book that I wrote, there were 71 references to grace in that book when I searched it in Word. 71 references to grace. Took me quite a while to go through it. But I realized that I didn't need to write a talk for today because I already wrote a book for today. And that I could share some of the things that I wrote. And so that's what we're going to do today. I need to keep track of time because there's a lot to share. But when I gave up the struggle, the answer appeared. And I just waited for the inspiration to act. And when I did, it took all the stress away. Because I checked Ernest Holmes early in the week, and Ernest didn't use the word grace much. It's hardly ever mentioned in Science of Mind. And when he did use it, he used it in the way that it's about not seeing the friendliness of the universe. It's humans calling it grace because they don't believe that the universe is friendly. And in a universe of suffering, something good that happens is a miracle. It's grace. And that's not the truth. Excuse me. Hardly graceful to blow my nose in the middle of a talk, but hey, reality speaks. So the energy of grace kept coming to me in one form or another. So the angel said, give up the struggle and allow the universe to participate in the creation of your life. And this is an excerpt from my book where I'm talking to the beloved, and I said, we're talking about soft willingness again, B. I call the beloved B. I said, I love the feeling of soft willingness. It's like touching myself with tenderness. It's allowing that feeling of the presence to be right here in the moment. And B said, we love it when you bring home the gentleness you used to reserve for others to yourself. I said, it feels healing. And B said, no wonder. There's a world of hurt in the difference between beating yourself up and touching yourself with tenderness. I said, I'm willing to let go of the world of hurt. And B said, good choice. And we laughed. And then they said, what would you embrace instead? I said, I'm willing to explore the world of grace. I'm willing to experience and express tenderness with myself and others. I'm willing to embrace the quality of tenderness inside and out. I'm willing to hold all beings as precious in my heart. I saw a brand new 2-week-old baby sleeping the other day, B. I touched his little foot with great joy and tenderness. It's so easy with babies, especially when they're sleeping. And B said, as always, start where it's easy. The more you practice loving, the easier loving gets. I said, I was reminded by a friend yesterday of our talking about my finding 66 things I love about myself, like I did with my mom. I haven't done it yet, B. My friend Edie said it would be easy to do it just by what I'd done on the egg list, finding quotes for people and helping them find thoughts that feel better. I said, that stuff's effortless, B. How can I love myself for that? I said, wow, that was telling. I must equate value with effort. And B said, you were taught that love is a sacrifice. That's inaccurate. In a universe based in lackful thinking, love often requires sacrifice, like a mother going hungry so a child can eat. But in a universe of plenty, love flowing is as easy and as natural as breathing. I said, how do we get from a universe of lack to a universe of plenty? And B said, soft willingness. And I said, that brought tears to my eyes, B. Did again just now. Can it really be that easy? And B said, when you invite us in, you leverage your life. Open your heart, your mind, and your eyes to all the good that is there, all the love that is available to you. I said, I'm willing to live in an abundant universe. I'm willing to feel more of the infinite love that is ever available. I'm willing to relax into well-being, to love my life, to touch with tenderness. I'm willing to see all the beauty, tenderness, and joy that's already present. I'm willing to talk about it, tell stories about it, listen for it in other people's stories. I'm willing to make conscious decisions to carry the love and tenderness everywhere I go. I'm willing to see and cherish the preciousness of life. I said, wow, that feels good. And they said, to us too. I said, good chatting with you this morning, B. Thank you. I am loved. And they said, and more conscious of it every day. We love that about you. And so B spoke to me of grace and the importance of soft willingness. And David Hawkins in Power Versus Force said, willingness is the gateway to higher consciousness. It's simply the opportunity to open up and be receptive. Abraham Hicks said recently, 100% of your work is to put yourself in the receptive mode. Opening, opening, opening. And Carrie just repeated the gesture I did about stretching and opening. And I was up in Pennsylvania at Thanksgiving, and my friend Tom Hurt showed me something that he had just picked up from one of his teachers, and it's one of the touch with tenderness people. What's the therapeutic touch lady, I think, is the lady. And you put your finger in your belly button, and you put your thumb on your head, and you just push back three times. And it's pretty amazing. My neck and shoulders have released so many times just from doing that. And it's like a balancing thing. I've been doing it like 20 times a day because it's just opening things up. And I realized it opens up my chest. It drops my shoulders. It does all sorts of things you wouldn't anticipate that something that simple would do. So that's grace too. Grace is something you need to know just passing by over dinner one day that suddenly takes seed and begins to germinate and grow in your life. And all of a sudden it becomes easier to be open. It becomes easier to be physically open. And as we're physically open, as our yoga teachers can tell us, we are more emotionally open, we are more spiritually open. It just allows us to come into greater harmony and balance in our life. And we begin to express that poison elegance in form and attitude and action. And so that was just so helpful. And all this month, things have been coming to me, and I've been noticing the things that are coming. And it's so powerful. Here's a quote from Abraham Hicks. Life is supposed to be good for you. You live, whether you know it or not, you live as the full recipients of a hurricane of grace that is flowing towards you at all times in answer to all that you've been asking for. And the best way to get a whiff of it is to stand right where you are right now and do your best to find the best of the positive aspects that surround you. Look for things to appreciate, even if there aren't that many. Look for things to feel good about, even if there are more things to feel bad about. Give your attention as best you can to the best things that are going on in your experience, with a determination to train yourself into the best feeling vibration that you can find right here and right now. So we're looking for positive aspects. So as I was filling my wastebaskets with Kleenex, I was looking for the positive aspects, and I discovered that one of them is finding the actual keyed to the season boxes of Kleenex that have right now the Disney Frozen characters on it that I've been enjoying looking at. I love the movie, but I've forgotten most of it, and these pictures reminded me of some of the graceful, glorious images of Frozen. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'll ruin it for you.
Let it go.
Yeah, everybody knows the song, even if they haven't seen the movie. But the unconditional true love in that movie is the love of two sisters. Mm-hmm. It's not romantic love. It's the connection between two women. And it's so powerful to begin to recognize that unconditional love that is here for us expresses itself in millions of different ways, not just one. And as we open our hearts to any kind of love, more love can come in. And we can begin to see more love everywhere we go. So that's my next reading from my book. Excuse me, I have to blow my nose again.
I'm sure David will be able to edit that out.
Uh-huh.
Got a little work to do there, David.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice. I could give the bells to somebody and they could ring them while I'm blowing my nose. So this is toward the end of the book. Where I said to B, speak to me of grace, B. And that's where they said, grace is the word humans use for the incomprehensible friendliness of the universe. And I just said, wow. And I said, you definitely got my attention, tell me more. And B said, people speak of grace as though it were a miraculous exception to a rule of suffering. A sudden dispensation from a frivolous and judgmental God. Nothing could be further from the truth. And then together, B and I said, grace is omnipresent. And I said, how'd I know you were going to say that? And we laughed because book two is about omnipresence. And B said, grace is a way to explain the omnipresence of omnipresence. It's meta-omnipresence. I said, huh? And B said, you declare grace when you get a startling and sparkling glimpse of something that was there all along, whether it's health, wholeness, abundance, harmony, joy, or love. And together we said, the timeless, eternal nouns. Because we talk about that all the time. It's a pun on the eternal now, of course. Mm-hmm. But we play with those words that describe spirit and God. And B said, grace is a door opening to something wonderful and unexpected. And they said, with me, that was there all along. I was getting the hang of omnipresence by then. And I said, I'm beginning to see why laughter is the best response to omnipresence, B. The joke's on us. And they said, only because you still don't expect good things to come your way. Grace, universal well-being, is showering upon you in every single moment. As Abraham put it, the hurricane of grace. And I said, so are we wrong to celebrate miracles and call them grace? They said, no, you missed the point. You're not wrong, just limited in your thinking. We love the word grace and miracles and that you celebrate them. We want to help you understand that grace is everywhere. And every moment is a miracle. Every person is a miracle of grace. I said, every cat, too. And we laughed, and I said, Rosie is being adorable right now, licking her paw and washing her face. She has the cutest pink tongue, and in this moment, I'm seeing her with so much love. And B said, that's grace. You, perceiving the beauty that is right here, and allowing our love to flow. That's grace. I said, so simple, B. And B said, omnipresence is simple. Just God. Just love. Just grace. Doors opening everywhere to more beauty, harmony, creativity, and energy. You are seeing the light that is ever present more fully every day. I said, I was reading the very beginning of our first book to a friend yesterday. You've been saying essentially the same thing every day. It was a couple of years by then. I said, yet it always feels fresh and new to me. And B said, that's the very nature of God. Always the same and simultaneously always unique. I said, both and. And they said, yep. I said, I love both and. Seems so much friendlier than either or. And B said, the universe is a remarkably friendly place if you allow it to be. See. I said, I want to allow myself to perceive the grace all around me today, B. I'm willing to let you guide my eyes and my heart to where to look. I'm eager to perceive the beauty and wonder of this magnificent life. I love remembering the omnipresence of love. I love laughing as I let go of limiting beliefs. I love knowing this friendly, magnificent universe in more exquisite detail. And they said, we love you. We love your passion for exploring omnipresence day after day. Good work, sweet girl. I said, thank you, B. I am loved. They said, you sure are, and so is everyone else. Oh, yeah. It's so good. I love my book. So, I want to read you another quote. This one came from Mike Dooley in the Tut message on the 19th of December. So again, as I was not doing anything about this talk, things to put in this talk just kept arriving in my mailbox and in my ear. And so the universe said, I have a special request to pass on to you directly from the morning sun herself. Echoed by the clear blue sky, the earth beneath your feet, the trees in your life who long for your passing. From time to time, however sporadic or brief, they'd absolutely adore your undivided attention. I'd want to know, so I thought you would too. And then the universe at the bottom of the page where they always have one-liner, they said, I know, you can't be everything to every tree, but you come amazingly close. And that led me to my third bee chat that I wanted to share with you. And it also led me to this quote that I've quoted often, but it's one of my favorite quotes in the whole world, from Teilhard de Chardin, a Christian mystic from the 20th century who said, someday, when we have harnessed the power of the sun and the waves of gravity, Someday, when we have harnessed the power of the sun and the waves and gravity, we will learn how to harness the power of love. And then for the second time, we will have discovered fire. Fire. So beautiful. And it reminded me of this Chat From Bee, which was the first one in the book I came across when I went to look at it. I said, I want to make a difference in the world, Bee. I want to leave the world in a better place than it was when I came. And Bee said, Mother Teresa said it beautifully. In this life, we cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great love. To make a difference, do small things with great love. Like making cookies and crack for study group.
Yay!
Thank you so much, ladies. Mm. Crack is a pretzel and peanut mix. With white chocolate on it. It's addictive. That's why we affectionately refer to it as crack. But for those on the internet, sorry you can't taste it. It's fabulous. So B said, to make a great difference, do small things with great love. And I said, wow, B, that sounds so easy. And B said, in fact, C, it makes a great difference if you make the choice to do anything with even a little more love than you offered before. Love is the lever. Love leverages. Love expands your power and effectiveness. Love opens up your connection with Source. When you add a little love, you open up to more of the omnipresent love to flow into this situation consciously. I said, okay, B, I get it. Love is the answer. And they said, to every question. They said, we can't make this point strongly enough. The energy of love is the greatest force there is.
Yes.
Teilhard's quote. You want to do something, some visible action. We want you to become conscious of what you already are. B just said, we can't make this point strongly enough. The energy of love is the greatest force there is. You want to do something, some visible action. We want you to become conscious of what you already are, a powerful being of light, radiating love expansively, daily, moment by moment. Start with being C. Who do you want to be? I said, I want to be me, B. I am willing to explore the unique constellation of gifts I came with and have developed so far and will continue to develop as I go forward. I'm eager to appreciate who I am and what I have to offer. I'm eager to see myself as you see me, already a powerful being of light, radiating love expansively moment by moment. That's a beautiful vision of who I already am. I love seeing myself through your eyes, B. And I bet what you will say next is that everyone is already a powerful being of light, radiating love expansively, moment by moment. I said, right? And they said, exactly. We are focused on who you really are and calling you towards your true self in every moment. That's why you feel so bad when you feel unworthy, less than, or unloved. Those thoughts are so untrue. They separate you from your ability to perceive our love that ever surrounds you, supports, and supplies you. I said, I love feeling your love, B. So I need to see the value of my own life in order to feel your love? That's ironic. I most want to feel your love when I feel the worst about myself. And B said, your judgment of yourself and others closes you off from your love. And our love. Shifting from a filter of fear to a filter of grace allows you to see the beauty and value in yourself and everyone. And I want to stop here and tell you the story of a filter of grace, because I saw the vision of a filter of grace 15 years ago, I bet. It's in my first book, A Gift of Vision, which is available for free on my website to read. And in that vision, its setup is that you walk into a room and you see a statue of yourself that has been created by a great sculptor. And I walked into the room and what I saw was a mirrored box on all sides with a big purple ribbon on it. And then I thought, how am I the gift? You know, what gift am I? And then the meditation says, go in to the statue and see it from the inside. And so I went into the statue, and then people started coming into the room and seeing themselves in the mirrors on the sides of my box. And it was like a funhouse mirror. They saw themselves all distorted, and they thought it was me. But they were seeing a reflection of themselves in who I was. And then the meditation says, and a master walks into the room and you have a dialogue. And Mary Magdalene walked into the room. And she looked like Elizabeth Taylor when she was in National Velvet. She was a teenager and she had these big purple eyes. She was gorgeous. And I said, and she was beautiful. And she was reflected as perfect and beautiful in what she was seeing in me. And I said, I want to reflect back to everyone that beauty. How do I do that? And she said, consciously choose to see the world through a filter of grace. Mm. And so I've been contemplating that idea of consciously choosing to see the world through a filter of grace for like 15 years. And so in the middle of this, when I'm talking about moving out of judgment, be reminded me, shifting from a filter of fear to a filter of grace allows you to see the beauty and value in yourself and others. And I said, and I get a filter of grace by, and they said, consciously tuning to love. What do you love? And I've been writing love lists. That's how I got to talk to B. I wrote love lists for 6 months. Every day for 6 months, I woke up in the morning and I sat and wrote in my notebook what I love to be, what I love to do, what I love to have, what I love to feel, what I love. And so I went on and I said, I love you, B. I love the unconditional love and total acceptance I feel in talking to you. I love the grace and wonder of wandering in the ideas you bring to me day after day. They said, we love the ideas you bring to us, too. I said, it's like a big, beautiful meadow of ideas. Like the park I visited yesterday. There were huge, stately trees that were solid for 60 feet and then fluid in the wind for another 20 or 30 feet of leafy branches. There were tiny, incredible, sweet-smelling flowers on trees and bushes. There were old-fashioned roses on a trellis. There were swallows flashing blue and cardinals brilliant red. There was a rainbow in the cascading fountain. So many wonders. That's what it is like sharing my time with you. I get to bask in the many wonders of the ideas you present to me, B. Each thought you share is sweet on my tongue, as you once told me it would be. Each one evokes a loving feeling, though the feeling ranged tremendously. Some of the ideas we share feel like joy, others like comfort or kindness or tender intimacy. Sometimes I bask in bliss or feel a grand aha of insight. Talking with you is like giving my positive emotions a workout at the gym. You are definitely increasing my range of happy feelings. B said, you're full of great analogies this morning. We love the vision of you exercising your positive emotions on purpose. We also love you recognizing the beauty of ideas is comparable to the variety of wonders in the park. Cultivating beautiful ideas is a remarkable hobby. So there's more, but I've run out of time. I have one more one-liner from the book. B said, life is a festival or an obstacle, depending on whether I'm wearing a filter of fear or a filter of grace. And so I've been pondering this for weeks, and allowed the universe to bring it all to me, when I gave up the struggle and allowed the universe to participate in the creation of my life and my talk, as the angel card said. And so my final conclusion, my last one-liner, is grace is understanding the rules of the game and being willing to play full out with an open heart and trust what happens. And so it is.
And so it is.